everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio for this Friday, November the 13th, 2020. You're on 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk, KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening and podcast of the show at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, the Tucson Local Media Group, and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Friday Focus interview today features United States Representative Raul Grijalva, who was just reelected to a ninth two-year term in the United States Congress, representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District. Congressman Grijalva is the chair of the House National Resources Committee. Joining me on the live line as well today, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
I am good. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. Thank you very much for joining us. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
For the only the second time, Congressman, in more than seven decades, a Democrat will carry Arizona in a presidential election. It's a monumental shift for a state that was once a Republican stronghold. In fact, Congressman, the last time Maricopa County voted for a Democratic president was 72 years ago. So this is a huge shift. Other than at the top, though, Congressman, with the president, it was not that great a day for Democrats, was it?
Well, it was the expectations for what that day would turn out to be in terms of on a national level, not only the presidency and the administration with Biden and Harris, but also Senate, that would flip and that we would solidify the position of the majority in Democrats in the House of Representatives. We retained the House of Representatives and lost some members, and you know, this whole the special election in Georgia is going to be the deciding factor as to who has the majority at this point and for the Senate. So yeah, I think the shift that occurred in many areas, and let's just speak about Arizona, was significant. I think Pima County solidified itself in terms of Democrats, but beyond that, I think that the shift that you're seeing in Arizona and in other places is just, you know, the influx of newer voters, maturation of the voting public in terms of how they see it, and Trump had a huge turnout in terms of his supporters coming out, something that no one read as accurately at any point. And so it was a good thing that the work in terms of vote by mail, early voting that was done by Democrats was as good as it was. Otherwise, I think the situation could have been worse.
By the way, congratulations on your reelection, winning easily by a 2-1 margin. So I want to say congratulations to you.
Appreciate it.
Now, what about you in the Biden administration? Do you see a place for you there?
No, I have a pretty good perch where I am. You know, I will retain the chairmanship of the Natural Resources Committee and the second most senior person on the Education and Workforce Committee. Two things that I can be effective at, and also the freedom to some extent of where I am to be able to fully support the administration, but also at the same time to have the freedom to fully point out things that I feel need to be done or things that aren't being done in accordance with some of the commitments that were made in the past. So, you know, that's I think that's an important role, and I like it. You know, discussions about me being Interior Secretary are beyond my control. I'm not campaigning for it or anything. I think there are some wonderful candidates, including Tom Udall, whose roots are here from his dad, Stuart Udall, being not only a congressman but also ended up Secretary of Interior as well. And then you have a historic person that is in contention as well, and that is Deb Haaland, and the congresswoman from New Mexico, first Native American elected to Congress, and as such, to the House of Representatives, and as such, I think represents a very important historic point in terms of her leadership of Interior. And so, you know, there's some really good people, and I really, you know, a big part of me says that, you know, that to make history is an opportunity that we shouldn't bypass, and I think Deb, Congresswoman Haaland is an excellent candidate.
All right, let's welcome now Tim Steller to the program of the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, you're with the congressman.
Hello, Congressman. You have made some hay investigating things at the Interior Department as chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, and I think it was this last week, and my colleague Tony Davis was able to reveal that it was Interior Secretary Bernhardt who essentially tried to ease the pass for permits for the Villages of Vigneto development down in Benson, the mega development that we've been talking about for years. So is that something that is that subject to an ongoing investigation, or would that be something that you guys would specifically consider delving into anew?
I think it's a continuation, Tim. It's a continuation of what's already been done, and now, you know, with a new administration and a new Interior head, you know, to get the information that we've been asking for. And as such, you know, because, and then to go from there to be able to question the decision that was made, that it was influenced from up above, and that wasn't the initial recommendation that was being made. And if all that comes to light, and I believe that it will, then it just brings into question the whole decision that's being made around that development, and that I think that still needs to be looked into, and the legitimacy of what's been done there, both ethically and in terms of conflict, is still a question, and we're not going to stop.
What about these oil leases? This news just came out today that the Trump administration may try to push forward with oil leases in the Arctic, very sensitive area, before the end of his administration.
Yeah, I think there's two things that, you know, before the door hits them in the rear as they're leaving, and you know, and Interior is one of a great example of that. So is the Department of Education, and to some extent, all of them. The conflicts that exist now, and the legitimate fear that decisions are going to be made now, that political appointees of Trump or the secretaries are now going to be embedded into civil service positions where they're more difficult to remove. All that is, you know, on the table, and I think there's a rush within the administration now, and we know that for a fact in Interior, to get as much done as possible before the door closes, and that's an unfortunate situation that we're going to have to deal with for the next 60 plus days.
What about the border area with the border wall?
Well, I think that's a whole new funding cycle, and I think this administration has already said that. I think the issue there is going to be looking at those areas in which damage was done, and looking at all the waivers, and how do you, and pulling back from those waivers. I think those are going to be the central questions. I think stopping further construction, that's there'll be no money for that. the Biden-Harris administration has said that, and Congress the last 2 years have not appropriated any money for it. He had to move that from the Defense Department. And so that the money issue is, I think there will be nothing in the budget for that. But the other issue, I think, Bill, that is of importance is damage done both environmentally and on a human cost. When we talk about what happened to the Austin people, their sacred historical and religious sites being affected the way they have been by the wall, how to proceed to undo that, and I think that's on the agenda as well. So those two things are important, and for Homeland Security as a whole, I think getting that position of secretary is going to be critical. Getting that law enforcement arm, the largest one in the country, a federal arm, back into being accountable and transparent in its function, I think is going to be important. I think what happened is that under Trump, Homeland Security got politicized and weaponized in terms of it being now part and parcel of what Trump of not only the Trump agenda, but more importantly, even the Trump campaign. And I think they need to follow under what FBI, U.S. Marshals, AFT, the same accountability and transparency that we demand of all those law enforcement agencies that are federal has to be also required of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, and ICE.
On Homeland Security, do you think that this Trump administration experience and seeing how politicized they've become shows that Homeland Security is too big with too much concentrated power and needs to be reorganized, disbanded, or otherwise have its powers dispersed?
I think after 9/11, when it was all put together, that the guardrails weren't put in place. And I think that, first of all, guardrails need to be put in place. And, yes, an examination as to the structure and the mission of Homeland Security is called for. And not in a sense that you're eliminating, but what you're doing is that you're looking at both effectiveness of the mission and then, number two, and I think that comes with the accountability and transparency I talked about earlier, Tim, that with that comes also a responsibility to really examine the structure and the mission. And when you do that, you're looking at the whole system.
All right. We're going to talk now about Mona's Danish Bakery. The congressman and Tim Steller will stick around. I can't believe it, but Thanksgiving is now just a week from this upcoming Thursday next week. So now is the time to check out Mona's Danish Bakery and put in your order for your dinner rolls and your pies. The pies come in a variety of flavors. Congressman, I'm going to ask you, what about pies on Thanksgiving? Do you tend to go with the traditional pumpkin pie? What is your favorite?
Pecan.
You want to go with the pecan?
Yeah, I love pecan pie.
Okay. Tim, what about you?
I actually am pretty partial to pecan too myself, but I love all of them. Apple, pumpkin is lower on my list, honestly. It doesn't feel that special to me, but I like the other ones a lot.
Okay, well, Mona's can take care of whatever that request will be for your pie. I'm also talking about the Danish Kringle because Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. That's a beautiful flaky pastry that would be wonderful on Thanksgiving morning when you get up, kick back, have a cup of beautiful coffee, and then a slice of that Danish Kringle. So put in the order right now at Mona's Danish Bakery. They're open, by the way, right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I'll see you up at Mona's, my favorite bakery. I'm sure I'll be up there this weekend. Let's take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview is with United States Representative Democrat Raul Grijalva, just reelected last week to a ninth two-year term in the U.S. Congress representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District. Tim Steller is also with us of the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, longtime columnist, and actually Tim was named the Columnist of the Year by the Arizona Press Club. One of Tim's colleagues, Tony Davis, was my guest this week on the show as we congratulated and took a deep dive into his career. He was named by the Arizona Press Club as the Journalist of the Year. So you guys are doing a great job. Congratulations to you, Tim.
Thank you. You know, Tony and I started at the same month at the Star, January 1997.
Wow.
He was about a week or two after me in that downtown office down at the old La Placita office complex.
Yeah, and I didn't realize, Congressman and Tim, that Tony began, when he came to town, he worked with Chuck Boden, Charles Boden, the legendary late, great Chuck Boden over at the Tucson Citizen. I'm sure you remember those days, Congressman.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I think both Tim and
Tony,
Mr. Davis and Tony are, you know, they especially on the issues that Tony has been digging into. I think at a national level, I mean, he raised issues, and that was good work, you know, on his part, doing the investigative hard work that journalism doesn't get enough of nowadays. But both of them should be very proud.
Yep. Congressman, let me run a scenario by you that's being it's being talked up by Trump loyalists. They are talking about the president never conceding the election, not attending the Biden inauguration, and instead Trump going on to talk about a run beginning, I guess, immediately in 4 years, that he is the true heir to the crown. What do you think of that scenario?
It's truly something to be watching, that, you know, this historic election and then the aftermath of the election. And the fact that there is no concession when everybody knows that he's lost, Trump. And the fact that, you know, his supporters, of which there were 70 million, are obviously disappointed, and a hardcore of them very, very disappointed. But that's what happens with elections, historically, you know, and by tradition, it's a concession and then a transition into to the winner. And I think the fact that none of that is happening, that that this is going to be a perpetual campaign as far as Mr. Trump feels, and that he is refusing to accept the outcome of a Democratic election, I think is both sad in many ways, dangerous in some ways, and the strong whiff of authoritarianism and to some extent fascism is evident. I mean, to continue to divide this country, to continue to make it a personality cult, to continue to promote conspiracy theories and lies about this election and everything else associated with it, you know, the people spoke, the votes were counted.
Well, I think it hurts his own party, because what kind of legacy you're talking about if he's talking now about running in 4 years? What does that do to other Republicans who may think that they would like to run for president, or Trump's own family? There's some family members that probably have eyes on political office. So what about the whole legacy issue?
And part of the legacy is this, though, Bill. Part of the legacy is that what Trump is doing is also, you know, he's not going to seamlessly walk in from leaving the presidency after being defeated, and hopefully not the horrible scene of him having to be escorted out of the White House. But more importantly, he still has to face some consequences, both legal and both investigative, dealing with his finances and dealing with some of the conflict of interest, and the issue goes on. So there is a legacy there, and it's not just moving from claiming that he was robbed of a re-election to running again in 2024. He has also got that legacy of what is going to get looked into and not going to go away. I mean, he did, from his taxes to his finances to his conflicts, those are all going to become public, and that includes his family. That's part of the legacy, too. That is going to unfold as he continues to draw attention to himself in even worse ways.
All right, let's bring in Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star.
Just to continue this for a second, so what I find confusing about this is how people some Trump supporters, and I think there's a large proportion of them, suspect fraud robbed him of the election, and yet don't suspect the same of the senatorial results, which left Republicans probably in charge, legislative results that left Republicans in charge of the state legislature, the House results that gained Republican seats in the U.S. House. And so all that said, there's one particular figure that is of curiosity to me, and that's Senator Martha McSally, who has made one statement, which was to celebrate Veterans Day 2 days ago, but has said nothing about the results of her election, as far as I can tell. What do you make of all that?
I think it's a huge, huge mistake on her part in, to cling on to, much like Trump, to something that it's that's already done, that she's lost, and it's a mistake because it any thought of her resurrecting her political career in another arena down the future, I think that's lost. Because one of the things, one of the things in this process of electoral politics is sometimes you lose, and I've had the misfortune of losing, and you have to call the person that got the most votes and congratulate them and concede and be gracious about it to some extent, as difficult as that is. Nobody likes to lose, but this is an opportunity for her to kind of step up and make that transition a little more, make it more effective. You know, I think it's a huge mistake, and to follow Trump on this, and I think it's a huge mistake. I'm glad the Attorney General said something that this election is fair and done. Here, a Republican here in Arizona, but not to hear an echo chamber on this issue from other Republicans is really disturbing, because the transition is about preparing yourself, getting your people in place, dealing with national security issues, preparing for the budget for the coming year, and not to have the access to that transition is a disservice to all Americans, and certainly to the Biden administration in terms of what they're going to confront with the pandemic and the economic issues immediately upon assuming office.
And another scenario talked about that this election is going to go to the newly elected House of Representatives in early 2021. Please comment on that.
That is just to verify the results, any thought of not doing that. And I've been there for George Bush to verify those results, and that was after Florida and 527 votes. So, that's a function. You have Gosar still in denial that Trump lost Arizona, and yet he's not in denial of the fact that he won his race, and he's not in denial of the fact that all the incumbent state reps are going back, including all the Republicans, not in denial about any of those things. So I hope the people don't carry that hypocrisy to that particular vote at that point.
All right, Tim, jump in here.
Yeah, going back to the border wall, do you think there are places where not only construction should stop, which I assume will happen under a Biden administration, but that the wall should be removed?
I alluded to that. There are areas, particularly it affects the San Pedro and down in some places of Cochise, and it affects some of the areas adjacent to some public lands where the waivers were used and no adequate study or mitigation was ever dealt with, and the ones that have affected the Otham Nation in terms of that public land and adjacent to the nation, sacred sites, historical sites, cultural sites that are being, and water resources that are being affected. Yeah, there is some where that damage has to be undone, and I think that's as I said earlier, that is going to that and reforming and restructuring DHS and undoing some of the damage of the wall, some in Texas as well and in other parts, are going to be two key things that are going to have to be done, not just suspending the funding, but also undoing the damage.
The COVID cases are really just skyrocketing. What was your experience like with COVID, Congressman?
I was, the gods were good to me, and in that I what I had wasn't severe. I had like a bad head cold that lasted, and then fatigue. I mean, that's the residue from this thing. And, you know, after 14 days of quarantine and then tested, it, you know, it gone away. And I was fortunate, but others are not. You know, four of my staff have been infected, even though they're at home. And, you know, everybody knows somebody now.
Yeah.
It seems like it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, more and more people are knowing somebody that died from it, you know? And I think that the severity of this, as we wait for the vaccine, still needs management, still needs control, still needs a national strategy and a national testing regimen, et cetera. You know, we're not going to get hit with the economic thing till the sales revenue and other things really hit the city and other communities hard next year, not this year. And how do we stabilize that? And what that has, and what the federal government has to do in that, in terms of school districts, cities, towns, and counties. So there's work ahead, and I think they're going to confront that right off the bat. But this is, you know, this Thanksgiving will be unlike anything. There's nothing. Nothing's the same right now. You know, we're separate from family, and not being able to celebrate Thanksgiving the way we all celebrated it all these years. All those now are required in order to stem it ourselves, and then hope that the Biden-Harris administration come in with the support mechanisms from unemployment to health care supplies and whatever's needed in order to combat it. Still, that management plan is still needed, and this administration completely walked away from it, and it's going to be left to this new administration. It's going to be a real chore.
All right, Tim, we are out of time. Did you have anything else that would require?
No, it's...
What was that?
Let's go to the break.
Okay, well, we'll go to the break. Congressman, thank you very much for giving us some time. And again, congratulations on the reelection. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Buckmaster Show continues with Tim Steller, and I've got a lot to talk with Tim about after we take the break in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Buckmaster on a Friday right after this.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
And speaking of Green Things, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, Green Things, where they have thousands of homegrown poinsettias that are ready to beautify your table at Thanksgiving, getting ready. A lot of people this year, it's a, as Congressman Grijalva was saying, very different Thanksgiving, Christmas. This is going to be a lot of people going to be at home. Well, beautify your home with some poinsettias from Green Things. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tim Steller continues with us. Tim took part in our interview with the Congressman. Tim, I've just received a news release from Rex Scott, who is now officially the Pima County Supervisor in District 1. The results are now official, and he says he has respect for his opponent, Steve Spain, and his supporters. And there's some sincere commitment to their ideas and beliefs. He's hoping everybody can work together. This is a huge upset, Tim. As I've said on this program before, the last time a Democrat was the representative in the Pima County Supervisorial District Number 1 was 1972, Ron Asta. So this is really an historic election in Pima County.
Yeah, the leftward shift of the county elections is really happening. It was a surprise, but District 1 had become more closely matched in terms of partisan registration than it was previously. So while it is a surprise, it's not as big a surprise as it might have been, 4 or 8 or 12 years ago.
All right, let's move on to what was talked about in the Political Notebook and the Arizona Daily Star. The lead item, Councilman Steve Kasachek got the call nobody wants to get when HR calls you, human resources. It's usually bad news, and in this case it was. Steve is one of 21 athletic department employees who got the bad news. He was being laid off, and he'd been with the University of Arizona for more than 30 years. He started in February of 1988. Gosh, that's 1 month later than when I started at the University of Arizona at Channel 6. I started in January, and Steve started in the athletic department a month later. Then he gets a call from HR. He was not given the courtesy. He's not at all happy with this. He says it was disrespectful. Why Dave Hickey, the athletic director, didn't give him a call personally and say, Steve, why don't you come over to the office and let's talk about that? I see what Steve's talking about. I think he's got a point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to think about. I mean, you could look at this as simply a matter of dollars and cents. You know, they laid off a bunch of people, and Steve just happened to be one of them. That's possible. That's a possible explanation. But there's been word kind of filtering down through the months ever since Hickey took over that they weren't so comfortable with Steve's position on the council or some of the political positions he has taken. And granted, it has been, there are times when it feels like a conflict as an employee of the U of A is taking stands about the U of A's position in the community on the city council. But, you know, if they didn't like him being on the council, or if they didn't like his positions on COVID-19, they should say so. Hopefully, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever understand what the real motivation was, but hopefully his political positions were not the motivation for them letting him go.
And, of course, he was very outspoken, and Steve still is very outspoken, about the testing at the University of Arizona, that all students should be tested. And I think that's going to be the case when the spring semester starts.
Yeah, he pushed hard, pushed the university to go further, and which probably did not make him popular in some sections of the university. I'm sure the athletic department is really unhappy with how things have turned out. Now the first football game of the season was canceled last weekend. Now the next one is already being canceled. So he was pushing things that made people unhappy. Whether that's a factor, we don't know. But there's a hint of suspicion there.
And this thing with Martha McSally, as the congressman was talking about, just it's almost like political suicide what she's doing. If she ever thinks about running again, you know, not acknowledging her loss to Mark Kelly. And I see that CJ, her longtime spokesman, CJ Caramargian, has already decided he's done with her association, even though his job would be ending anyway, but he's joining up now as heading up Doug Ducey's chief of communication. I've known CJ forever, and so have you, Tim, and hopefully we'll get a little better service now from the governor, who will service some of the local media and doing some interviews, so maybe he'll be a little more accessible than Patrick Patak was.
Personally, I didn't have a problem with Patrick.
Okay.
I could get through to him. Now, getting the governor is a whole different story, but I could reach Patrick okay. CJ, I liked the, I don't know, symbolism may not be the right word, but, you know, he signaled that Martha's done when he took, I'm sorry, Senator McSally, when he left. You know, I mean, they know it.
Sure.
She won't say it. You wouldn't leave that job if you thought she was going to be in the office. Now, obviously, she thinks there's a good reason that probably benefits her in some way not to concede. I don't know what that is. I think, you know, especially Trump and some of his associated candidates have kind of thrown out the rule book or the norm book, if there is such a thing. On elections, but and why she has chosen to go that way, I'm not so sure. Last election, she had a very rough and nasty campaign against Kyrsten Sinema, and yet her concession was notably gracious. This election, you know, she's just burning the whole thing down, and I don't think she's going to have much of a future here, but there may be some plan that she has that none of us can really understand.
And then you wonder about Doug Ducey's future. He is not a popular governor right now. The polls have shown he's one of the least popular governors in the United States. And so you got to wonder, is he thinking about a run for the U.S. Senate? That Senate seat now of Senator-elect Kelly has to run again here. Basically, the campaign has to start up. It's a two-year deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So John McCain passed away in what year was that? 2017, I believe.
Yeah, 17.
Yes. And so then because the legislature had changed the law as to when, in anticipation of McCain's likely death, they changed the law so that the election wouldn't have to take place so soon and the governor could keep appointing Republicans. So Sinema won So McSally was appointed, and then John Powell was appointed, McSally was appointed to replace Kyle, and then McSally lost this year. But anyway, the long story short is that McCain's term would have ended in 2022, and that's why Mark Kelly will have to run for re-election then. But the Ducey, of course, Governor Ducey is thought of as a candidate for Senate, but and seems to be setting himself up for that. But as you say, it's hard to see where his base is outside of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. I mean, the money people like him.
Yeah,
the money people like him, but there's not a lot of voters that like him.
No, the base doesn't. His base,
right.
The political Republican base, doesn't like him.
Right, he tried to straddle the Trump wing and the money wing of the party, and it's become impossible.
All right, Tim, I'm basically out of time, but I would like to talk about what you have planned for the Arizona Daily Star on your column Sunday.
Actually, I just finished the moments before we got on with a
really
interesting interview with a young woman who nobody knows of, who has a fantastic story, and I'm not sure why I'm telling it, but it involves not homelessness, but childhood problems and then work and a lot of achievement and COVID, COVID. And so anyway,
we'll look for it.
We're going to feature her. Yep.
All right. Tim, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to have you on my program.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Tim Stellar of the Arizona Daily Star. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt Russell's coming up next with Weekend Watch. Stay with us.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan.
The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Oh, am I glad to hear that music after the week I have had. A weekend watch with Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist Mr. Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And they're hoping you will take a look at their website, southwestnewmexico.org, so you can start your planning so you'll be ready to visit. It's only a three-hour visit. You'll be ready when New Mexico is ready to once again welcome out-of-state visitors, and we're all hoping and praying that day is coming very soon. Mr. Matt Russell, I'll tell you, after my emergency root canal on Wednesday afternoon, do you think I'm ready for a weekend?
Yeah, I'm about as ready for this weekend as you are,
Phil. Jeez. What do we have at the top of our list today?
Yeah, we've got the third Sunday Artisan Food Fair is happening this Sunday. It returns to the Medela Vina Ranch from 10 to 3 on Houghton Road, just south of Escalante. This is a safe and great way to spend the day. There's going to be trail rides and lawn games, some wine tastings, a convoy of food trucks, a lot of activities for the entire family. Now, admission is free, but you should definitely bring some cash for those food and wine tastings. Temperatures are going to be hovering around the low 80s that afternoon in mid-November. Perfect for some alfresco celebrating, that's for sure.
What else is on your list right now?
Staying in business for 36 years says a lot about your products and the people behind them. And a local pizzeria is celebrating its 36th anniversary this month by giving something back to their customers. Tino's Pizza on Tancredi, just across from Trail Dust Town, they're going to be giving you a bonus $36 gift card with the purchase of a $100 gift card. Now, if my math is correct, that's $136 in Tino's Pizza gift cards for only $100. This special runs this weekend through November the 30th.
Boy, I got to remember where I was November 1984. That's a long time ago.
I was a senior at Saguaro High School, bussing tables at the old Corleone's restaurant.
Oh, my goodness. I was anchoring the TV news up in San Jose, California. How about a good food court visit?
Yeah, you know what? This is fun. Three downtown restaurants recently pooled some grant money that's kind of enabled them to expand together in a creative way. It's on the corner of Pennington and Scott, and you can now dine outside at Cafe 54, Urban Fresh, and the Raptor Canyon Cafe at what's being called the Pennington Street Outdoor Food Court. Thanks to Pima County and the Downtown Tucson Partnership who provided the grants that made it all possible. And you can enjoy the best of these three eateries from one space for breakfast and lunch, vegan cuisine, ethnic favors, burgers, cheesesteaks, and more. So much for everybody. It is now the new Pennington Street Outdoor Food Court.
Hey, I'm hungry and I can still chew on the left side.
Well, continue healing, brother.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, Matt. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks so much, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Some folks I'd like to thank. My friend, Chris Stefan. He's a German composer. He does the original theme music for our program. Thanks to Rose Brandt, who's been with me a long time, 10 years here on the Buckmaster Show. She's my assistant. Make sure all of our programs, the podcasts are up and ready for listening. Of course, John Couch, other side of the glass, engineering and producing, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us have the same wish. That wish, have a pleasant weekend.